as we have talked quite extensively this weekend, one of the hot keys in my life is to do personal work. I love having Bible study with people to learn where they are spiritually and learn how to help them to advance to another level of obedience to God's will. And throughout the years, I was put in my place in a very discreet way, whether the people intended to or not. I had this one young lady that I was studying with that I thought things were going along pretty well, and we'd studied about repentance. And as we gained in our study on repentance, and she was getting ready to leave, she walked out the door, I remember, then she stopped, she came, and I distinctly remember she kind of leaned against the door, but she said, "Alan, how do I know if I've truly repented?" I answered her question the way I felt like appropriate, and then when she left, I said, "Man, I blew it. How in the world could we have an hour study on repentance and her not know if she's truly repented?" I knew that was meaning that I didn't do a good job. And then another time I was studying with this lady, and she was getting close to obedience to the gospel. She came up during the invitation song and sat down in the front row, and I visited her then. I said, "Tarzan, let's talk a little bit after we dismiss, too, because I thought there was a few things we need to make sure of." And so we did, and she sat down there, and we talked and visited, and I thought, "We're ready to go." And she said, "Alan, I got one question." I said, "What's that?" She said, "What's repentance?" I said, "Ouch." And I thought, "Okay, repentance is, et cetera, et cetera." In the process of time, she was baptized and things were well. You know, repentance is not a household word like it used to be. If you're a King James Version Bible student, and I typically preach in the King James Version, call me lazy, but I memorized the King James Version. I haven't memorized the others. So I tend to use it, and I will use other versions to support and to clarify King James Version. But I typically preach it. And plus, my little Bible here, I've got about 10 of them, and I plan to use them until I die. So you'll probably hear me preaching it when nobody else preaches out of the King James Version. But I may surprise you one of these days and preach out of the New King James Version. Oh, good. You got King James there. All right. So we got King James. But I'm a King James Version guy, and repentance is there very fluent all throughout the Scriptures. But you read some of the modern version, and the word repentance is not even there. Some of the versions that I've even recommended, people think, "Can you give me something a little bit more clear than a King James Version?" And I had reviewed several, I had read several, and I'd make the recommendation that a couple of them that I referred to didn't even have the word repentance in it anywhere. They would have "change your life, change your ways, change your mind," but they wouldn't have repentance. And so I began to think, okay, let me evaluate now. Repentance, you know, and I've studied a little bit about the history of the word repentance. Repentance is a very common word up until really the latter few years when translation started. It's when the word in our Christian home fell. Let me ask you this. When is the last, and nobody answered out loud, of course, but when is the last time you asked anybody to repent? Oh, we've told people they need to be baptized. We tell people they need to make a confession. We tell people they need to believe in Jesus with an obedient faith. But when is the last time we ask somebody, "Listen, you need to repent. Will you repent of that sin?" Most times I ask people that, they said, "Man, I don't even know." Many times I can look back on my life and I didn't do it either. But yet when you read and study the cases of conversions, you read and study the men who wrote the New Testament Scriptures, the apostles, the other inspired men like Mark, who wasn't an apostle but an inspired man, and men like that, they weren't afraid and they laid out repentance. I'm not saying we're all afraid. We don't mind doing it, but we don't call on people to repent. One day this lady actually gave me a tape, cassette tape that she had, and she said, "Would you mind reviewing this for me?" And she said, "I thought it's kind of good, and I just want to make sure that he was right and what I'm wanting to understand was accurate." I said, "Oh, sure." That happened quite often, so I popped in the tape, and I sat down in the chair, and I began to listen, and the guy was a good speaker, and I was listening carefully, and then he said, "Repentance. Repentance is the most difficult command in the Bible to obey." I thought, stop button. Back in those days, tape recording, rewind. And I hit it again. Repentance is the most difficult command in the Bible to obey. Before I sit there for a little bit, I pondered, is it right? Is repentance the hardest command in the Bible? You know, I'm a guy that hardly never say never, but I don't usually throw around some of those terminologies like I would never come over to your house again. I would never call back. Now, I'm not a never guy. Repentance is the hardest, meaning there's nothing any less hard than repentance. And then I began to think, you know what? He may be right. If he's not right, that is the absolute hardest. He very likely is right, is one of the hardest. It might make the top 10 and very likely the top 5 and maybe the top 2. And it may be top 1. But I began to think, you know what? When we preach repentance, we're asking people to change their lives. I know. Change my eating habits to lose weight was not easy. And changing your eating habits, changing your mythology of the way you do your daily routine is not an easy thing to do. They say if you do the same thing 31 days in a row, it becomes a habit and you do it by natural means. But you know what? I ate abnormally for 40 years and I did. I did natural means. I got bigger in a barn. But you know what we had to do? We had to change all of that and try to back her down. Well, when you call on people to repent, at times, you're asking people to quit your job and get another job that a Christian can have. You're asking people at times to get out of their marriage status, changing their marriage because they're living in an adulterous marriage, and get out of that and change. You're asking people to give up a hobby that they love so much that they do on weekends. They pack up their four-wheelers and off to the woods they go for the weekend and come back Sunday night. You have to change their habits a little bit and make sure they hunt where they can worship on the Lord's Day. And you begin to think of how many ways you ask people to change. Well, I preached this a number of months ago, maybe more like 2 years ago, and this gentleman met me back door and he said, I didn't agree with what you said tonight. I said, well, you're the first. I said, I've never had anybody differ from a sermon on repentance. He said, I didn't differ with the sermon, I differ with your analogy, and that is, under what circumstance would you ever ask somebody to change their marriage status? He said, that just caught my ear, I just couldn't get that off my mind. I said, well, any unscripted marriage would have to be dealt with appropriately. He said, give me an example of anybody you would ever, and he got really animated. I thought, oh, wow, this guy's worked out. And I thought, okay, let me ask you this. A homosexual marriage, would you ask them to change it? Well, of course. Now, of course, we're not talking about them. I go, I am. Homosexual marriages, you would ask them to change it or the church would not accept it. You do that for their soul, salvation, well-being. That's what I'm talking about. But that's not the only thing I'm talking about. Any unscriptural marriage that cannot be resolved, you know, in an appropriate way, will have to be disbanded. Well, he moderated his aggressiveness and his assertiveness, and he said, okay, he said, I'll think about that. You know, we ended on good terms, and he went his way. But it made me realize that certain times people don't understand what repentance is. Repentance and confession are not the same thing. You repent of sin. Repent means to change your ways, change your mind, change your thoughts, change the way you look at things. It's a change. Confession is you're admitting to, I messed up. So in confession, you're confessing what you've already done. Now this is off the subject, but I'm going to throw it in just as a little weave in here. And that is when, you know, some people don't like public confession, but when somebody makes a public confession, I don't mind public confession. I believe the Bible will prove that. But when people make a public confession, they're not there to announce what I've done wrong. They're to confess what everybody knows they've done wrong. You can confess your sins before God Almighty. You are a priest, and you can pray to the high priest for forgiveness of your sin, like in Acts 8 and 22. when Simon the sorcerer sinned, you know what Peter said? Peter said, you need to make a confession and we need to pray for you. No, he didn't. He said, you need to repent and you need to pray to God. You know what Simon did? He said, would you pray for me? That's what we do today when people make confessions. They're coming up asking somebody to pray for them. And all that's fine. That's fine. But the point of the matter is, Peter told Simon, you need to pray. You can pray for your sin. That's what I'm saying. You know what? Jesus taught us to do that. Now, we're talking about baptized believers here. Baptized believers can pray for the sin. Jesus said, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, etc., etc., forgive us our sins. We forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins. We forgive those who sin against us. Jesus taught us to pray for that. Now, he wouldn't have said, pray to forgive us of our sin if we could not pray, forgive us of our sins. He did because he meant it. So I want everybody to know, you don't have to wait to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You got a sin in your life. You don't have to wait then to get forgiveness of it. But make sure repentance goes with it. All right. What we typically see written on the board, we see people write, hear the word of God, believe the word of God, repent of their sins, confess the name of Jesus, be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. Well, that's what we're going to talk about for just a little while tonight, repentance, the need for repentance. Let me tell you what, baptism without repentance does you no good. Confession without repentance does you no good. Repentance must be there. Also, you'll see people write on the board, you must hear the word of God, believe the word of God, repent of your sins, confess your faults, and have prayer. Now this is for every baptized believer. Every baptized believer who sins, they need to repent, confess their faults, and have prayer. But let me tell you what, none of this without repentance. You take repentance out of the equation, we're not going to accomplish anything for our spiritual well-being. So what we need to understand is, whenever we sin, we must repent. Whether we are a saint or a sinner. By saint, I mean baptized believer. And I probably will relate with that topic. Baptized believer. Sinner, a non-baptized believer. Now, I'm not talking about just any baptism. I'm talking about baptism of the Great Commission. It doesn't do us any good anymore to ask people, well, have you been baptized? No, that's not enough. We cover that in workshops and studies. But you don't say, have you been baptized? Because everybody there has been baptized. I mean, they sprinkle water on the head when they're about 6 weeks old. They'll pour water on the head. They'll take them out there and think they're a bunch of saved people. They'll gather up 10 or 15, 20 of them and baptize them, you know, 6 months after they're saved. All this kind of stuff. Listen, no. You ask people, were you baptized by the baptism of the Great Commission? Maybe the next go around here, I preach on the Great Commission, and we deal with all of that. But here's a key element. Repentance is involved in the Great Commission. Did you know this? Here in Luke 24, you know, usually, you think I'm preaching on the Great Commission. I'm really not, believe it. I'm not. But did you know the Great Commission is recorded in Matthew 28, 18 through 20? And other people, and it's good, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. That's Matthew's account of the Great Commission and Mark's account of the Great Commission. I love studying, I love preaching, I love visiting with people about the Great Commission. But did you know Luke wrote about the Great Commission? He did. In chapter 24, 4-6 and 4-7. Most times that I've looked and people reference the Great Commission, they give Matthew, Mark, they leave off Luke. Most time in print, most time when I hear preachers preach about the Great Commission, they go to Matthew, Mark. They rarely go to Luke. I want to take you to Luke today. Let's go to Luke, the 24th chapter, the very last chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 24, verse 4-6 and 4-7, here's what the Word of God said. Now this is the Great Commission, the same as Matthew and Mark recorded. Luke 24, 4-6, thus it is written, Thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, he didn't highlight it or bold it or anything, but repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Did you know this? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? Great Commission. Luke is the only one that recorded repentance. The only one. Over in Mark, he recorded belief. You don't see belief mentioned by Luke. But here we find Luke recorded repentance. Repentance and remission of sins. That's your baptism for the remission of sins. Repentance and remission of sin. There you go, your baptism. That is what is to be preached today. So we need to understand. Luke 24, he said, preach repentance. So tonight, we're going to preach repentance. Repentance is a very necessity in Bible study with anybody, anytime. You always want to have repentance laid out where you can be ready to study it. Because whether a member of the church or non-member of the church, everybody needs a dosage of repentance every now and then. You know, I keep a number of sermons tucked under. I'll tell you a little secret. Don't go stealing them or nothing. But I slide me a few sermons underneath the pulpit at 21st Street. Last time I looked, I had half a dozen under there. I do that just in case somebody doesn't show up. I just go there, slide a sermon out, and go to work. Or, in case I get flustered and I decide I don't want to preach this sermon because of whatever reason, I return and grab one of my sermons and pull up repentance as one out of them. Repentance is always appropriate. You can always preach on repentance. There is mentioned in the Bible over and over again. And it's very, very important that we have that. Repentance is important. I'll tell you what. Let me show you how important it is. Would you turn with me to Luke 13 and verse 3? One of the rare times in the King James Version and in the Holy Scriptures where you see this done. But Luke 13, 3 and Luke 13, verse 5, two verses later. Luke 13, 3 and verse 5. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3, Luke 13, 5 are identical. You don't see that very often. I can give you a couple more examples. You don't see it very often. Jesus gave an illustration of an Old Testament event. He said, you think they're worse off than you? He said, no, they're not worse off than you. They didn't repent, they perished. You don't repent, you're going to perish. Whether you're a baptized believer, whether you've never been baptized, if we don't repent of our sin, we will perish. Now, I want everybody to remember the importance of repentance or we perish. I'm going to give you another verse that happened many years later that will say repent or perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus made it real clear. Now, with this audience, I won't be able to hit it lightly and briefly, but here we go. We're going to talk about the non-baptized believer. That's who we mean by sinner. Luke 13, 3 and 5 we just addressed because this is a very unique incident repeated by Jesus. But he stressed the importance of repentance. Jesus preached repentance. Luke 24, 46 and 47, we find it right here. You know, Peter preached repentance. Acts 2, 38, Peter said, in Acts 2, last time I was here, I preached on Acts 2. Gave you 10 points. Very easy Bible study outline. Point 1 through 10. Things we learned from reading and studying Acts 10. There's a whole lot more, but I gave you 10. But when he preached his sermon from verse 40, from verse 14 to verse 36, he was interrupted. They said, men and brethren, what should we do? And Peter said, I just go your way, don't worry about it. No, he didn't. He said, repent and be baptized. Who? Every one of you. That sounds all inclusive. What about it? Every one of you need to repent and pray to God. Why? For the remission of sins. What are the benefits? I get a remission of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something here today. All right, I'm right in the way. Right here, y'all can't see. I'm right up here in this corner. All right, here we go. One, two. These are commands. These are all from Acts 2:38, okay, right here. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. These are two blessings. You have remission of sins, and you have gift of the Holy Spirit. Without anything being added to anything, the Word of God says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says, Acts 2:38. That's not paraphrase. That's not commentary. That's what it says. I don't care what version you read after. That's what it says. There are two commands followed by two blessings. Command, repent, number one. Baptize, number two. Two blessings, remission of sin, and gift of the Holy Spirit, number three. Number four. Three and four. Remission of sins, number three. Fourth, gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. We shouldn't be afraid of it. We should be promoting it. I tell you what, it's really awkward to me to sit down and try to study somebody and preach three-fourths of Acts 2. Repent, be baptized, remission of sin, and pretend the Holy Spirit's not working. No, you're not seeing Alan on that. No, sir. I'm going to preach 100% of Acts 2, 100% of verse 38. If we don't do that, my dear friend, I just simply don't know how the Lord has been looking at it. We've got to preach it. Okay, every bit that's found in Acts 2:38. Emphasis in this lesson, repent. Every one of you, so you can have remission of sin and give the Holy Spirit. And then the very next chapter, he said, repent and be converted. And then you find in Acts 11 and 18, this time to the Gentiles, repentance. And then Acts 17 and 30. Oh, this is pretty good. Hey, take your Bible, turn to Acts 17 and 30. Acts 17 and 30 is quite heroic. All of these verses are great, but I'm trying not to keep it too terribly long this afternoon. But Acts 17 and 30, Paul is preaching this great, great lesson. Acts 17 is dynamic because Paul the Apostle did what God himself did not even do. Paul introduced God. And you read over Acts 17, beginning verse 22. Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill, and he began to introduce God. He said, you're worshiping the unknown God. He said, let me declare him unto you. Let me declare God to you. And he began to introduce God. You know what? God didn't do that. In Genesis 1:1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God didn't say, hey, everybody, I'm God. No, no. But right here, Paul introduced him. And he wrote a quite impressive message. He writes away. He goes down. And verse 30, he said the time of this ignorance God winked at, he passed over things for the time being, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That sounds like me and you. What do you think? All men everywhere to repent. That sounds like Acts 2:38. Repent and baptize who? Every one of you. Every one of you. I'll tell you what. Evangelism is in your back door. Your next door neighbor. It might be under your roof. It could be a spouse. It could be a child. It could be someone you've got living with you. Evangelism can be real close to home. We need today to know, let everybody know that all men everywhere must repent. Any non-baptized believer, according to the baptism of the Great Commission, needs to repent. My friend, I'll be honest with you now. I preached about repentance for years, but more and more that began to draw closer and closer and closer. Now, some of you have heard this on internet and all that, and that's all right, but you'll hear it again. You don't mind, I know. But I went to elder meeting at this place. I've been there many, many, many times. And the first morning breakfast, this lady of the house laid a newspaper in front of me. She said, you might want to read that. I said, well, thank you. She said, well, I circled a couple of articles you really want to read. I go, oh, I take it you want me to read this paper. You know, just cutting up with her. She was a dear friend. So she circled it. And I got reading it. And my eyeball got big. They had stood out of a stem of this long. And I thought, whoa. It was two ladies that I had baptized on previous trips, probably three or four meetings earlier. They were in jail for prostitution, drugs, and you name it, cruddy stuff. I said, can I get in and see these ladies? She said, I don't know. I said, well, I'm glad you let me know the first day. I'm not glad they're in there, but I'm glad that you let me know. Long story short, I got in to see them. Oh, you got to go through the act of Congress. You get in to see everybody who's a number instead of a name. But anyway, you got in to see them. And both of these ladies said identical the same thing, which showed me the weakness of what we have been preaching, Alan included. They come around and she said, I need you to show up. I need you to show up. If you find out within here, you show up. And so we sit down and talk on our little telephone to this little plexiglass. And we communicate back and forth. She said, Alan, I know. I need to make a confession. I want to make one right now. I said, confession, my foot. You need to repent. You need to change your life. If what's in that article is halfway true, you are a wicked woman. And you know better. I can't understand it. I know I'm being hurt by all the other people. They probably need to repent too. But she said, okay. I need to repent. I said, you know what that means? That means change your way. I just had my sermon fresh in my mind. I said, you need to change your ways. Change your action. Change your conduct. I know you got to change now because you're in your little 5x5 cell or whatever you got in there to live in. But you got to change when you get back on the street. One of them just got out of prison. One of them got out in a few weeks, a few months, I don't know. Well, we got through that little preaching sermon. I got my sermon off my chest. She got her ears full. We even had prayer. She promised me she wanted to repent, make it right, confess, have prayer. We did. She went her way. And then they told me to stay seated, so I stayed seated. And then here comes this other lady. Now, this lady went the first way. This other lady came in the other way. She came in and she said the same thing. If I didn't know better, I think they got together and planned what to say. She said, I knew you was coming in here. I knew if you saw that, you'd come in here. I said, tell me about it. What's going on? She said, well, we got caught and we're in here. I said, got caught what? Well, you know, you baptized me. I said, I know. I said, did it take? You know, what's the deal? And this lady was the other lady's aunt. So it was an aunt and niece. And the niece one got a little time. The aunt got a bunch of time. And I said, I don't know what's going on. So she explained her stuff, and it sounded like that. Maybe I didn't even need to hear it. And then she said, I know, Alan, you know what? I'm making a confession. Here I go again. Confession? You've got to be kidding me. No, confession is not where we're at. We're at repentance. You got it. Are you willing to change your life, change your ways, change your action, change what you've been doing that you should not do, like explaining her stuff? Are you willing to make a change for that? If you're not, I'll be honest with you, confession won't do you one whit of good. You can walk up every aisle of the church across this nation and make a confession, but if you don't repent, it's not doing you one bit of good. Long story short, she decided she wanted to repent. Don't know why, but she decided she did. I do know why, but the men facetious here. But I got to preach my sermon right there in my little 3x3 cubicle. It's probably like it didn't fit in it at the time, but I got in there and I picked up my phone. Me and her had a good little talk. And I hope the people that heard me realize they need to be baptized too and make things right with their Lord. But you know, my friends, we don't ask people to repent. Listen. I usually do this in meetings, not bounce on everybody the first Sunday I'm here in a long time. I want to know, when is the last time you ever asked anybody to repent of anything? Be honest with yourself. When is the last time I asked anybody to repent of anything? By and large, we don't. We don't do it. You know what we tell them? You need to make a confession. That's a weakness we've got to get out of. Yes, they need to make a confession. No doubt. I'm not knocking that. They've got to repent before they confess. They've got to do that. My point to you is, when someone is in spiritual trouble and they need to get their life straight with God and they're willing to get straight with God, and they say, okay, what do I need to do? Don't say make a confession. Say you need to repent, confess, and have prayer. Put repentance in there. If you don't put repentance in there, you're not fulfilling what you need to do. And I left it out too. Listen, I'm not saying like acting like I'm King Kong and bulletproof, because I'm not. I made blunders myself. Now, you need to make confession, 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 and I should be saying you need to repent, 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 and then we confess and have prayer. Confession's the easy part. It's easy to say, well, we all sin and come short of the glory of God, so I've sinned. That change is what's hard. So I ask you today to change your spiritual vocabulary. Add the word repentance in there. Put it in before your confession to a baptized believer and get them right with the Lord and have prayer. If you have any question, if you don't agree with what I've said, the last little bit of a point that I made, please mention to me. I'm not that big a hurry to go home. Now, I'm looking forward to going home, but I'll stay with you instead of that with you, because this is important to the salvation of people's souls. They must preach repentance to be saved. Now let's talk about the baptized believer. In Acts 8:22 is the case of Simon the sorcerer. You know, Simon the sorcerer made a big mistake. He tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit with money. He saw the apostles perform these miraculous gifts and abilities, and he had the audacity to offer them money that they'd give him some of that power. That was not cool at all. As a matter of fact, I want to read to you in Acts 8th chapter just a little bit of what Peter said to him. Now, Peter did not mince words, okay? Peter, let it be made known, began at verse 20. The sin occurred, just for the record, if you're at Acts 8, Simon was baptized in verse 13. Simon himself believed also and he was baptized, okay? He was baptized in verse 13. Between 13 and verse 19, he committed his sin. His sin, verse 19, give me also this power, whomsoever I lay hands on, they may receive the Holy Ghost. He wanted to be able to do the miraculous stuff, what he wanted. He already had the Holy Ghost when he was baptized. He wanted the miraculous Holy Ghost. And then that should like pulling Peter's strain to turn him loose. And Peter said unto him, thy money perish with you. You thought the gift of God could be purchased with money? Thou hast neither part nor lot this matter. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought in thy heart may be forgiven thee. I perceive you in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. I mean, Peter nailed his hide to the wall. But you know what his message was? Repent. How many times have you seen two baptized believers living together? Or one baptized believer living with them? Is that a man? Living immoral is what I'm saying. How many times have you ever known that? You know what you need to do? You need to repent and change what you're doing. My friends, listen, we fall short on that. It's time for us to step to the next level and start calling on people to repent. That is very, very important. Peter told him to repent, and then Simon said, you pray for me. All right, 2 Peter 3:9. Peter, now this is years after Acts 2. You know what Peter said here, 2 Peter 3:9? He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He is long-suffering. He's not, get a hold of this, here it is. Not willing that any should perish, but all men come to repentance. Peter preached in Acts 2. Peter preached in Acts 3. Peter preached it over there in Acts 10. Peter preaches all the way down to 2 Peter 3. Repent or perish. Peter preached the same thing Jesus did. You repent or you're going to perish. That's what it said in 2 Peter 3:9. I'm not going to review all of these. Revelation 2, Revelation 3. But you that are taking notes, write these verses down. These are the seven churches of Asia. Five of the seven churches of Asia Jesus found issue with. Five of the seven churches he found issue with, he told them five for five, repent, 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 repent. Chapter 2, verse 5, chapter 2, verse 16, chapter 2, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 19. I don't care who you are, whether you're a member of the church at Sardis, Philadelphia, or wherever you might have been from, Ephesus, he told you you got sin, repent of it. I don't care who we are here today, who I am here today. When I have sin in my life, you know what I need to do? Repent. I cannot go to heaven unless I repent. I cannot go to heaven unless I change my will, my mind, my thoughts, my actions, my deeds, my conduct. You got sin in your life? You know, we have a couple of songs that every time I do, I punch it in, tell them to write it down, then I forget to follow up on it. But it says, secret sins. I think pure in heart. I'm not sure, maybe pure in heart, oh God. But it mentioned, forgive us of our secret sin. When we're singing that, those letters look this tall. And I got thinking, ooh, I wonder if I've got secret sins. I mean, sins that you don't know about. I think, if you don't know about it, he probably don't either. Guess what? I'm wrong. God knows about it whether you know about it or not. You know what? God knows about your sins whether I know about it or not. God knows about your sins whether anybody in here, whether anybody on earth knows about it, but you, God knows it. We need to pray to God to forgive us of our secret sins. I thought we'd get in some of that, but I haven't got around to get nothing done yet. What we find here in 2 Peter 3:9 and these churches in Revelation, we know a lot of them did this wrong, but it's recorded. But we may not understand it completely and fully. But they were all, these are church members. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a first generation brotherhood. And 5 out of 7 were told you got to repent. Okay? Conflict resolution, Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. I've got a whole series I preach on conflict resolution. I'm just showing you that individuals are called on. If someone says, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Get a hold of that. If they sin, rebuke. If they repent, forgive. He shows repentance is necessary. Congregations, where we just studied, Revelation 2 and 3. Congregations need to repent. Whenever there is sin in the camp, they're called on to repent. Now, hear the phrase, fruit meet for repentance. In Matthew 3:8, Luke 3:8, Acts 26 and 20, you see that phrase, fruit meet for repentance. I'm going to explain to you what that means. Fruit means your work, your actions, your deed, your conduct, and your behavior. That's an accumulation of words from a variety of lexicons, Bible dictionaries, of what this word fruit means in this passage. I can't say it comes only vines, only there, only this, only that. It's a combination of words they've used. You'll even see this in some of your translations. Work, action, deed, conduct, behavior. So that's your fruit. Meat is befitting to or corresponding to. So your work, your actions, your deeds, your conduct correspond to repentance. Change your mind, change your ways. So here it is. How do I know, Alan, if I've truly repented? Because my work, action, deeds, conduct, behavior will correspond to my change of mind and change of ways. That's how I'm going to know. You know how you can know if somebody repents? You know how you know if you repent? Because you changed. If you're still telling, acting, behaving like you've always been doing, then you haven't repented. If I still lie, Alan hadn't repented for lying. I may have said, I'm sorry for lying. I may confess. Guess what? I'm a liar. But if I haven't repented and I haven't changed, guess what? I'm going to go to hell flying. Revelation 21:8, let it be made known. You're going to swim in that lake. The lake of fire. Every liar, all liars, will have a lake of fire and brimstone. Let me tell you what. Whatever sins in your life, I don't need to know what it is. But you get it right with the Lord. Repent of it. That's the deal. Repent. Change. I know changing is hard. Which takes me back to when I was over here and I said, that gentleman that said, repentance is the hardest command in the Bible to obey. I'm not going to argue with it very long. It may be. It very well may be. But whatever, it is tough. If it wasn't, I'd weigh 150 pounds. I ain't weighed 150 pounds in 35 years. Maybe 40. I weighed when I got married in 1978. 50-ish, which means somewhere between 50 and 55. But I'm asking you today from a spiritual standpoint, if you've got sin in your life of things you've said, things you've done, ways you've acted, repent of them. If you've got sins of omission, that used to be a word we hear in every prayer back in the Deep South. I don't know if you had it in the Midwest or not. Lord, forgive the sins of omission and commission. How do you think? How's that work? Omission, things you omit. Commission, things you commit. Forgive me both of those. I think, well, I got to get all these categories down pat. I remember, I left home when I was 17, so all this is kind of new to me. So I was 14, 15, learned all this stuff. You don't want to omit, you don't want to commit, you know. So you got to get all this done right. I'm just telling you, if you've got sin in your life from A to Z, whatever it is, I do not need to know the details. I want you to do like the prodigal son in Luke 15. He left his father's house on his own accord. He came to himself in verse 14 of Luke 15. He came to himself and said, I will arise. I'll go to my father. And I'll say, Father, I have sinned. And there's a loud mirror making a great joy. The word of God, I love this verse. Luke 15. I said I could let you out early. Sorry, I didn't. I don't know what time you normally get out, but it's already after 3 o'clock, but I am getting ready to quit. I'll tell you this. When that son came home, there was a loud mirror making. And the word of God said in Luke 15, verse 7, Luke 15, verse 10, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 that don't need repentance. Now, that doesn't mean there's not joy in heaven over the 99 good guys. But it says there's more joy in heaven over one person that repents. That means if you ladies would repent, you brothers would repent, if Alan would repent, there's more joy in heaven over one person that repents. That's pretty amazing, to be very honest with you. In conclusion, heaven is calling out for you to repent. In Luke 15, verse 7 and 10, the angels of heaven rejoice. One of the pastors said the angels rejoice. I mean, we're talking about, here's something we do on this lowly old earth. We repent of our sin. There's presence and the joy, their presence and their joy and the presence of the angels over that sin and that repentance. Heaven knows when we repent. Guess what? If a person dies and goes to hell, they want you to repent. The rich man died in Luke 16. When he went to hell, you know what he asked for? He opened his eyes up in hell. He saw Lazarus and Abraham's bosom, which we all understand to be paradise. And he said, would you send Lazarus back to my father's house? I've got five brothers. If he would testify to them, if he went back from the dead, testify to them, they would what? Repent. They would change the ways. I love studying every time people are called on to repent. Boy, that makes me realize, boy, when you mess up, you repent. You change. You change right now. Do not put it off. I want to go to heaven, folks, and I want everyone else to go. I think Brother Linwood, or these are a lot of his song books, that glad reunion day, I want it to be for all of us. I mean, just sky will be the limit as to all the wonderful people that will be in heaven. Dear friend, are you ready to meet your maker today? Are you going to heaven? If you were to die today, would you go to Tartarus or would you go to paradise? If you're ready to meet your maker, God bless you. If you're a non-baptized believer, obey the gospel and baptism, just like we discussed here. If you're a baptized believer and you've sinned, repent, confess, and have prayer. Please come while we're standing, while we're singing.